This morning we're coming to the fourth of the I Am sayings of Jesus. This week is the Good Shepherd. I think maybe Simon's playing jokes on people, because I think it's pretty funny that there's an American who probably, I may have seen some sheep in a zoo somewhere, but we don't really have, because they'd all have a heat stroke. But it's funny, here I am, an American, talking to you about sheep, but I suppose it's okay, because I really don't want to talk to you about sheep. I want to talk to you about the shepherd. And I don't know much about sheep, but I do know the shepherd. And so it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Before we read our passage, let's just go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand and to preach and teach your word. Thank you that your word never leads us astray. Thank you that this is a church that values and treasures your word. And so this morning, as we turn and look at this passage of scripture about how Jesus is the good shepherd, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit might help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that you want us to know, that we would grow closer to our Savior Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. So again, we're in John chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So we have this passage where Jesus gives another one of his I am statements. This one he says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, if we want to understand where Jesus is going with this passage, we kind of need to know the context in which he's speaking. And the story really begins in the previous chapter, in John chapter 9. What you have in John chapter 9 is a man who was born blind. And so his whole life, his existence in life was to go out and stand on the street corner and beg for money. That was the only way, really, that he had to support himself. He would have been on the lowest level on the social ladder during that time. And the interesting thing was is that as they were walking by, Jesus was walking with his disciples by this man, and they asked Jesus an interesting question. They asked him, is this man who was born blind, is he blind because of his own sin or the sin of his parents? You see, Jesus, they believed basically what probably a lot of us will tend to believe, is that if something had happened to this man and that he was blind, it was probably because of something that he did. But then there was the dilemma of the fact that he was born that way. And so they were asking this kind of question that people would tend to ask a rabbi. Is this because maybe he sinned in the womb as he was in his mother's womb? Or is he being punished for the sins of his parents? And Jesus told him something really amazing. He said, no, it's neither one. That the reason that this man has been born blind is so that on this day, when I walk by, the glory of God can be made manifest. And he heals the man and gives him his sight back. Basically, what he tells him is that the reason that this man was born blind was solely so that I could heal him. So he heals the man. And then his friends take this man who was born blind to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, as they were wont to do, get in this argument with each other about the identity of Jesus. And some of them are saying, well, he must be a prophet because he's healed this man's sight. And in the Old Testament scriptures, it tells us that prophets of God will be able to come and restore sight to the blind. So some people are saying, well, Jesus must be a great prophet from God. And other Pharisees are saying, no, he can't be a prophet from God because he healed on the Sabbath. And it's against our religion to heal a person on the Sabbath because he's not keeping the Sabbath holy. And so he must be from Satan because he's breaking the Sabbath. And so they have this dilemma with one another in an argument. And then they do the most amazing thing. They ask the man who was born blind, who had been given his sight back, well, what do you think? And the man says, well, you know, I'm not a theologian, but I know that a little while ago I couldn't see, and now I can, and so I'm going to go with he must be a prophet from God. And then the most amazing thing of all happens, the Pharisees get mad at him, and they say, what right do you have to lecture us? And then they kick him out of the assembly. And then Jesus comes by, and basically Jesus takes them to task for being, honestly, just being jerks about it, to be honest. They say, here I am restoring sight to the blind, and you're having an argument about it. And you kick those who have been given their sight back out of the assembly for being a sinner. And then Jesus goes on, chapter 10, to explain that he's the good shepherd. Now, when he does that, he's saying that he is the good shepherd in response to the Pharisees. He's rebuking them. Because he's speaking into a context that they would have understood very well. He's speaking to them in light of their understanding of the Old Testament. They would have been very familiar, obviously, with the 23rd Psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." But probably even more important than that is Ezekiel chapter 34. If you have your Bibles handy, flip over to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 34. This is what This was one of the prophecies that God sent through the prophet Ezekiel. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with no one to search or seek them." You see, what Jesus is doing is he's telling the Pharisees that you have been wicked shepherds because you've not cared for my sheep. This man was born blind. Rather than providing for him, you've allowed him to sit on the streets and be a beggar. And then he comes along, and I come and I heal him. I give him his sight back, and you accuse him of being a sinner and kick him out of the assembly. He's basically telling them, you've been the wicked shepherds. But in doing so, Jesus is telling the Pharisees exactly who he is and what he came to do. What I love about this passage in John chapter 10, where he talks about being the good shepherd, basically it's the largest passage that you have in the New Testament where Jesus explains who he is in his own words. And he's saying that he himself is the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. He's saying that I am God in the flesh. I am the Lord who has come to gather my sheep. God in the flesh is here among you. It's a profound statement of who Jesus is and what he came to do. So Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. And this morning I want to talk to you about four things that the good shepherd does for his sheep. And the first thing is that in verses 12 and 13, Jesus tells us that the good shepherd protects his sheep. He says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, and he flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." What Jesus is doing, he's saying that the shepherds of Israel were like hired hands. And the thing about a hired hand is that a hired hand does not have an investment in the well-being of the sheep. You see, a hired hand is just someone, his main goal is at the end of the day that he be paid for the work that he did. Okay, a hired hand's not going to put his life on the line for the sake of the sheep. Because what happens is that when the wolf does come, a hired hand's going to say, you know, I'm not being paid well enough to put my life on the line for somebody else's sheep. And that's what Jesus was saying that these Pharisees had done, that they were like hired hands. They were willing to do the religious part of Israel as long as it was not difficult for them, as long as they could continue to benefit from that, as long as people were paying their tithe and that they were doing well and flourishing and all of those things. But when times got tough, the hired hands flee and run away. But Jesus says, not me, I am the good shepherd. And I've come to protect my sheep. And the truth is that you and I, who are the sheep, we're constantly tempted to fall prey to the enemy. You know, as we go through this life, there's a myriad of different ways that you and I can be led astray. You know, there's family issues that we deal with. There's anxieties. There's difficulties. Life doesn't go the way we want it to. We get laid off. We get tempted. There's drugs, alcohol. I mean, you know, we could stand here all day and talk about the thousand different ways that you and I can be led astray at any moment. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and I've come to protect my sheep. You and I need Jesus to protect us. And Jesus is telling us that if we are in Him, if we are His sheep, then He's there and He will protect us. Second thing Jesus tells us in this passage is that the good shepherd knows his sheep. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Then in verse 15, he goes on, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So the good shepherd knows his sheep. As I was doing research for this sermon, I did a little bit of reading about sheep, and one of the interesting things I found is the difference in shepherding in the West and in the East. And the main reason for that is because here in the West, we raise sheep basically for meat. So, you know, we've got sheep all over Wales, and the vast majority of those sheep, the goal is that at some point, those sheep end up in someone's Sunday roast. Now, because of that, the truth is, we, you know, and it's probably a good thing, honestly, we don't really have a real attachment to our sheep. And I think that's healthy. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm, and my grandparents lived next door, and they had chickens. And I remember one time we were there, and the chickens were in the pen, and my grandmother was there throwing some scraps of food out for the chickens to eat. And I noticed that all of the chickens were white. I don't know, she just had white chickens, except for this one chicken, and it was a red chicken. And so I asked her, well, what's that red chicken's name? And she looked at me and she said, honey, on the farm, we don't name the chickens. And the reason that you don't name the chickens is one day the chickens stop laying eggs. And when that happens, they end up in the roast pot. And if you've had a chicken that's been in, you know, if you give something a name, it becomes your pet. Okay, so we don't have this particularly close relationship with our sheep. And so shepherds in Wales, what do? They turn them loose on the common, and you drive up to Blanavon and you see sheep there in the ditch. We're not particularly close to them. In the East, sheep and shepherds have a totally different relationship with one another. And that's because in the East, goats are raised for meat, and sheep are raised for wool. And so as long as the sheep is alive, it continues to produce wool for the shepherd. And so because of that, shepherds have a very close relationship with their sheep. They know their sheep. and their sheep know them. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and they come to him. Here, our shepherds drive their sheep with sheepdogs. There, in the east, they follow. And Jesus is saying that I know my sheep. He's saying that I have come to have an intimate relationship with my sheep. In verse 15, he goes on and he explains how close that relationship is supposed to be. He says in verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That's how close of a relationship Jesus wants to have with you and I. He wants to have as close of a relationship with us as he has with the Father. My question is, this morning, how well do you know Jesus? And how well does Jesus know you? A couple of questions to think about along those lines is, what places in your life are you not letting Jesus into? Second question is, if you do desire to have that kind of relationship, if you want to have a close, intimate relationship with Jesus, well then, how do you get to know him? And basically, in the scripture, there's two ways. The first is through prayer, and the second one's through the Bible. And we talk about that a lot, that prayer is our talking to God, and the Bible is primarily how he talks to us. And I have to make a confession to you. Over the last couple of months, I've just allowed myself to get so busy with the routine of life, with trying to make sure that the children are where they need to be on time and that they're dressed and they're, I don't really make them brush their hair. But, you know, just trying to think through moving churches, trying to think through what we're going to do in our gospel communities, trying to think through who I can meet with in town, how can I build relationships with people, with all of the like logistical stuff that we have to deal with in life. And I just have to admit that I'm not taking the time that I should to develop a close, intimate, deep, lasting relationship with Jesus. I've been suffering in prayer and Bible reading. And I think that we probably all, if we're not there now, at some other point, we all struggle with those things. I just went to spent a week away in Germany, and there were 300 missionaries there. And that was the topic, is how easy it is for us in life to suffer in our relationship with Christ, and what can we do to make that a priority and develop our closeness with Jesus. The good thing, though, is that even when we're struggling, Jesus says, I know my sheep. And he comes to us and he draws us back. And he's a gentle shepherd. If that's something that you've been struggling with, I've been struggling with it too, maybe we can get together and talk about it and try to work through it. I'll be glad to do that. Third thing that Jesus says, which kind of goes along the same lines in verse 16, is the good shepherd finds his sheep. Of course, in verse 16, He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The context that Jesus is talking about, he's saying that I have Gentile sheep. And my church's job is to go out and bring the Gentiles into a relationship with me as well. Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep. What did he say? He said if the shepherd has 100 sheep, and there's 99 sheep there, but one of those sheep is missing, then he goes out and he finds the sheep that's missing. And I love what the parable says, and I never noticed it until I reread it, but it says he goes out until he finds the sheep. And I really, the last time I read it, focused in on that word, until. The point is that I am finding my sheep, and I'm not going to stop until that one sheep is found. That's what the good shepherd does. He goes out to find the one that's lost. Let me ask you a tough question this morning. Do you feel lost and alone? Do you feel like you might be that one lost sheep? I know there's been times like that in my life that, you know, I have felt completely lost. I've been in situations that I didn't know what to do. But I'm so thankful that Jesus came and found me. And if you feel that way, then Jesus will come and find you as well. If you don't, if you know that He's found you, then praise God. Because He is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd finds His sheep. And so, if you're in Christ, you have something to celebrate that the Shepherd's found you. And you're safe with Him. And then the fourth thing in this passage says the good shepherd dies for the sheep. And that's spread out all through this passage. And in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then in verse 15, he says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then finally in verse 17 and 18, he says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. That word, when Jesus says, I lay down my life, what that word means is basically, it's the image of a garment that you take off and you lay aside. So when you and I are outside in the wintertime and we have our heavy coat on and we come into the warm house, the first thing that we do is we take off that heavy coat and we lay it aside. And Jesus is saying that I lay aside my life for the sake of my sheep. He says that he does it by his own authority. He didn't do it because he was caught in some kind of, cosmic bad day. It's not just a random thing that happened. It didn't happen because the Pharisees and the Romans and all the people that were involved had power. I do it by my own authority. That I am the one who has authority to lay down my life for the sheep. And that's what I choose to do. He didn't do it because someone else forced him to. He did it by his own authority. And that leads us to one final question that I want us to consider just for a few moments, and that is, why? Why would the shepherd lay down his own life for the sheep? Why would Jesus lay aside his life? Why would he go to the cross? Why would he have his body broken? And why would he have his blood shed? Why would he spend 3 days in the tomb? If you got your own Bibles, flip over a few chapters. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, in verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." The reason that Jesus laid down his life, the reason that Jesus died for his sheep, is because he loves his sheep. That's the most important thing that I want you to take away from today. I heard a statistic or read it in an article somewhere. It said that when they survey, 97% of people the next day about what the preacher preached on the previous day, 97% of people can't remember what the preacher preached about. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I promise I'm not going to call you tomorrow and ask you what I preached about. But if I ask you tomorrow, what I want you to say is, Jesus loves me. That's all I want you to take away from this passage this morning, is that Jesus loves you. He gives his life for the sheep because he loves them. It was the greatest thing that he could do to demonstrate his love, is to lay down his life for his friends. So tomorrow, if I call you and I say, what was the one thing that I want you to remember, please remember, it's that Jesus loves you. Because I just have this sense that some of us think that Jesus can't love us. And the reason I sense that is because I've felt that way in my own life many times. You know, there's been times where I thought, I've got too much baggage. I got too much bad stuff. Like I know what's really in my heart sometimes. And sometimes we all might think that, you know, Jesus can't love us. Sometimes we think that probably Jesus might be too busy to care about me. You know, there's big problems in the world. There's refugees and wars and famines and plagues and you know, all kinds of things. And sometimes we think to ourselves, well, you know, here I am. I'm just little old me. Jesus doesn't have time to worry about me. Whatever it is that keeps us from thinking that Jesus could love us, Jesus is the one who leaves the 99 and finds the one. And so, wherever you are, just know that Jesus loves you. In his own words, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sake of the sheep. That's who he is. That's what he's done. There's one final question that I want to ask you, and that's simply, are you one of his sheep? You know, because the truth is that the Bible teaches that one day there's going to be a time when the shepherd comes back. And whenever that time is, Jesus tells us that the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. And so it's a question that we all need to wrestle with. Are you one of his sheep? You have to be a sheep. You can't be a goat. The good news is that you or I or whoever, if we are not a sheep, we can become one. James tells us all the time, it's as easy as ABC. Accept that you're a sinner, believe that you need a Savior, and commit yourself to follow him. That's what it takes to be a sheep. So I simply ask you this morning, are you one of his sheep? And if you are, I want to assure you that Jesus is a good shepherd. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I thank you that Jesus, in his own words, in his own description of himself and who he was and what he came to do, told us that he is the good shepherd. And Lord, I thank you that the good shepherd protects his sheep. I thank you that he is not like a hired hand who runs when things get difficult. Lord, the Bible tells us that on the night that he was crucified, that he was in anguish to the point of sweating blood. But yet Jesus does not shy away from difficulty. He protects his sheep. Lord, I thank you that he protects us from your wrath and your judgment. And Lord, I thank you that the good shepherd knows his sheep, and that we can have an intimate relationship with Christ. Lord, I thank you that we can have as close of a relationship with our Savior as he has with you. What an awesome thing for us to think about. Lord, I pray that you would do the things that would draw us that close to yourself. Help us to be a people who want to know you, who pray to you, and who read the scriptures and learn from them. Lord, help us to enjoy the intimacy of our relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that you have found your sheep. I thank you that you found those of us who know you, and I think that through your church, you're still gathering in your sheep. I thank you that your word promises us that not one of your sheep will be lost. Lord, if there's anyone here that's not a sheep, Lord, would you draw them to yourself? Would you bring them into the sheepfold? Make them a part of your flock. And Lord, I thank you most of all that you would die. That you would die for the sake of your sheep. Lord, thank you that you love us so much that you would do the greatest thing possible, giving your own sinless life, taking our wrath upon yourself, that we could have forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, again, I pray if there's anyone here that's a goat, help them to know that right now, by faith in you, by faith in your Son Jesus, they can become a sheep. Lord, I pray that as we leave here, the one thing that we would take away is how much you love us, how much you care for us. Lord, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.